Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe Mixon today, he tweeted, OMG, imagine Nico with never mind, just wait on it, dot, 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 I emoji. And everybody's losing their mind on Twitter. Remember whenever Joe Mixon also, like, right at the end of the year, is like, oh, Casario's cooking or something like that.
Continuation.
I think Joe might be a little bit thirsty. I think Mixon might be a little bit of an engagement farmer a little bit here.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Joe Mixon's is engagement farming.
He's posturing, perhaps?
I kind of respect it. I kind of respect this from Joe Mixon. Yeah, I respect this.
Is Joe involved in the GM process here with Nick Casario?
Do we think that Joe has any idea what the Texans and Nick Casario are cooking up?
I think he maybe has a little idea.
I think he is trying to pour gas on a fire known as Twitter. I don't think he has any clue. And like the timing of this too is like an hour after DK Metcalf requested a trade, the reports came out on that. I don't think Joe has the slightest idea.
I think maybe early on the first one, he was trying to find a way to get T. Higgins here, or and hoping that would come true, and maybe they were talking. Here, it's interesting that he put that out there, but yeah, I don't know how much he really knows.
I don't even think Joe's in town. I'm not even sure Mixon's in Houston. Like, he's texting up the general manager. Like, they talk like that? Joe and Nick?
Maybe they've got a better relationship than we realized.
Well, I have a hard time believing it.
Joe's the man behind the man pulling the strings.
Joe's making his decisions on who the Texans are going to pick at 25.
He's the Astros Bagwell.
Legal tampering is not even open, by the way. Legal tampering doesn't begin until Monday. But yeah, Joe's going to know what's going on.
But I would think that maybe on the flip side, maybe Nick hit up Joe and said, "Give me your intel on T. Higgins."
I mean, they tagged him.
Okay, but I'm just saying, back then. Maybe as Nick was formulating plans for the offseason, maybe, you know, you're looking to get as much intel as you can. You talk to a guy that played with him.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe it's Kappa.
Nico, what'd you think?
Nico,
no,
with
pass,
Alex Kappa.
Pass.
Watch out. Mixon could know the player, maybe not getting info from the Texans. The players shouldn't know anything yet. Well, legal tampering is not open until Monday, so the players should not have any idea who would be interested in him until Monday. Now, Falcons got in trouble with that last year with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Like, I think we'd be naive to think it doesn't happen, but that's not supposed to be the case.
Well, especially since this first started with Joe, like, literally moments after the game ended against Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the Monday after that when they cleaned out their lockers. Anyway, like, it was so far... or so early in the process, there's no way that even Nick would even know what he would want to do to even share it with Joe.
I think he's playing with people.
I think there's definitely greater than a 50% chance of that.
I think he's playing with people. Like, it's going to be Darius Slayton and some dude at 25.
And Joe they're saying Darius Slayton's going to get overpaid.
I saw that, The receiver... The receiver free agency class is not great. They're talking about the overpriced
receivers. Neither is the draft.
You keep saying that.
See, I think, unless you're looking for a 1A, I think there's a lot of depth in the draft.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I view the Texans situation as more than needing just depth.
But they're not looking for a 1A.
I think it's more top of the draft. I don't think there's not a Malik Nabers, there's not a Brian Thomas, there's not a, you know,
Marvin Harrison.
But I think that there's still quality at wide receiver. And like, where the Texans are picking, though, at 25, like, it's a little hard because Brian Thomas went 22 last year. But, like, would a receiver that you could have had at 25 last year be better than a receiver you could have at 25 this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, you just named it. I mean, Brian.
Well, he wasn't available at 25.
Okay, he went at 22. I guess I'd have to look to see
Ladd McConkey.
Ladd McConkey was the level.
Is he better than Matthew Golden?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
I mean, I certainly would take the bet on Ladd McConkey over Matthew Golden.
Xavier
at this point.
Worthy, you could have had him. He went 28.
Yeah. I mean, Ricky Pearsall went, I think, 32.
Didn't have a good
31.
Rookie year. He was 31, yeah. Didn't have a good rookie year, but was shot.
Yeah.
Xavier Legette was the last pick of the first round. Didn't have a good rookie year. No. Keon Coleman was not great.
He wasn't good.
Jalen Polk with the Patriots went 37.
Wasn't good.
See, I think the caliber there is pretty similar to the caliber this year. Like the Matthew Goldens, like, the Emeka Egbuka's,
but we're talking
Luther
about,
Burdens.
But if you get those a guy there that is your replacement temporarily for Tank, and then there's the and he at least does that, and then you have the chance to him possibly, as he matures and stays with the organization, maybe he becomes your two eventually.
You're not drafting a guy at 25, though, to be like, hey, you're going to replace Tank, though, right? Like, you're just trying to draft the best player?
Yeah, I think Egbuka is a guy that I think is going to be – I think he has the potential to be your two next year.
I don't hate the idea of Christian Kirk as your veteran.
Yeah, apparently receiver. He's going to get released, so yeah. I would definitely make a call.
Yeah, I would see what he's going to cost. DK Metcalf requested a trade today. Seattle was already going to trade him anyways. Like DK Metcalf tried to break up with Seattle before Seattle broke up with him. Interest there?
Yeah, the price matters because you got to trade to get him. But and he's only got 1 year left on his deal, and he's going to want to be extended. But he's a hell of a receiver. To have that kind of size and athleticism and speed, everybody should be enticed to look at DK Metcalf. I'm curious about the price because – you know, Green Bay was supposedly kicking the tires on him, trying to see what could be done, and it was their first and one of their young receivers. I think if you look at all the teams that are looking for receivers, you're looking for the Chargers, you're looking for, you know, plenty of teams, Kansas City and Buffalo we named, but there's going to be plenty of others that are looking for receiver help that know what he brings to the table, that's going to drive that price up. I don't think a first-round pick and a player off your roster is going to be enough to get DK Metcalf when all is said and done, because I think the market is going to be plentiful.
Because of the price, I'm probably out. I don't want to trade a first rounder and then also pay him top wide receiver money. I don't think the Texans are capable of doing that. They also have multiple holes they need to fill. So you'd be trading your pick number 25, more than likely. You would be using all of your financial means, and then you couldn't do anything else. So because of the price, I'd be out on DK. It's not because of what I think of him as the player. It's just the price attached. I'm out.
Yeah, I would take DK if this was a situation where he was a free agent, or like with that hypothetical that someone threw out for Kevin Durant at league minimum a little while ago. But the problem here to me is the contract compensation after the deal. Like, I'd be willing to give up the first because you're talking about most likely spending a first on a wide receiver anyway, or at least that's in high consideration. So you're just replacing that gamble on the rookie with a guy that you know is pretty good with DK Metcalf. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna have Stingley coming up for a contract soon. Obviously, you're gonna have Stroud. You're gonna have Will Anderson Jr. There's a lot of things the Texans have to take care of, and their salary cap space is already not great as it is. There's no way I'm gonna pay DK Metcalf top of the market value post trade on top of giving up a first.
It limits where else you can add to your team too. Like, kiss your offensive line help goodbye.
Yeah, you're just developing from within at that point.
Yeah, or drafting guys with your other picks. So. That reason I'd be out on DK. I think he's a really good football player. The Texans hired a new president a few weeks ago, Mike Tomlin. I think it's how it's pronounced, not to be confused with Mike Tomlin. It's Mike Tomlin, new president for the Texans, replaces Greg Grissom. He said a bunch of – he was on the YouTube channel with Rock and Roll and with John Harris. He talked about, like, what every organization needs. They need good leadership, yay. Talked about the new stadium. He's like, yeah, you know, we want renovations. And then he also mentioned one of the first things he's added to the organization is he has walk-up songs for each member of the organization, like each department of the organization. Great stuff. But listening to this 20 minutes with Mike Tomlin, this is my biggest takeaway. That's his laugh. That's Mike Tomlin's laugh. I'm not sure I could trust a president that laughs like Elon Musk.
What about an owner?
Owner, as long as he's paying the bills.
I mean, because that's a Les Alexander-esque laugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Or Orrell used to bait.
Maybe
me.
I'm disrespecting the laugh then, because that was pretty... I mean, do you want, like, we're going to make critical organizational decisions, whether we, you know, negotiating a renovation, maybe we're talking about a new stadium build, we're talking about fan engagement, and this is the guy that's leading the charge. I don't feel good. It makes me question the future of the Houston Texans.
Just Worrell used to try and bait me to do, because I had the Les Alexander speech after the second championship down, and he hits Bob Costas with a line or two, and then he hits him with the laugh. And the laugh was always – Les's laugh was piercing.
I don't want to sit here and be like a laughist and like, you know, if I was a guy hiring manager and, you know, I had 15 candidates or whatever the case, I hate to be that guy, but I think I would disqualify that kind of laugh. And not to say that he's like underqualified or he's a buffoon or an idiot. I just wouldn't want to be around it. Like, I wouldn't want to be around that laugh for very long.
Y'all weren't around to hear Les's laugh?
I was too young.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember what it sounds like
now. The final lines of his speech are when Costas put his, isn't America great? America's the greatest land of all.
Sounds dreams, like Don King.
Where dreams really do come true. We love you, Houston. See you next year.
I think I remember it now that you said it.
Oh my God. It feels like you're doing a Mike Tyson impression.
Go listen to it. It's the New York accent, and it is that voice, and then he hits that laugh.
Yeah, I guess when you're the owner, you can get away with it. But the Texans hired this guy.
Yeah, when you had me pull this laugh, I went back and watched it because I just heard it first because I'm looking at the levels. I'm not looking at the screen.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to see this come out of his mouth because it sounds so
It doesn't
unnatural.
Look like him either.
No, like when I watch the videos, like it almost feels planted because it doesn't look like his mouth is making a shape that would make this noise.
It stunned me.
Yeah.
Like I was stunned.
Because it's a very unnatural sounding laugh.
He's a Georgetown Hoya, played football there. He's worked for tons of organizations.
Football? Really?
Yeah, for Hoya. I mean, they're not.
I wouldn't have guessed the guy with that laugh played football.
But, right? Like, but he played football. Like, he's well spoken. Like, he's very, you know, Rico Suave. Like, I could see why they hire him. Very smart, eloquent, well spoken, all of these things. And then he hits me with that laugh. I'm like, what in the world was
he's
that?
He's smooth, but he also came off as not genuine. And that like laugh comes
definitely
off
sells
as.
Many.
Yeah, and that laugh comes off as not genuine, so that kind of tracks.
Texter says that he sounds like Easterby. Alex said the same thing. that laugh
One
is
fish,
nuts.
Two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Boy, he does sound like Easterby.
Like, play the red fish, blue fish, and then the laugh.
Yeah, it's spot on.
I think it kind of just, like, sinks into each other.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
It does sound like Easterby.
Yep, sure does.
We know Look that out. Jack Easterby was looking for new jobs. We know that Todd the Show talked to Jack Easterby on the phone on our behalf. We know that Jack Easterby said he couldn't come on with us right away because he was interviewing for jobs. We know that Jack Easterby ghosted Brian whenever reached out to get him on the air. And now this guy is making Jack Easterby noises? I think Mike Tomlin might be Jack Easterby.
Shout out to the fish.
I think it's him.
It's a pretty good call.
I do want to play that second one on Tomlin. What every good organization needs. Mike Tomlin with the creepy laugh. He had some good things to say, I think.
And one thing that I can say sitting in front of you today that is extremely important is ownership. You know, you can't underestimate the value of having good ownership. And so I had the chance to get to know Cal and Hannah both. And certainly was very aware of Bob and Janice's legacy as well. And having the opportunity to sit in front of them and see how genuinely they cared about the team, the city, and have these big aspirations for what it can be in the future, that gave me goosebumps. That was special.
I didn't think
never,
it was
the same. Never. Quit.
There you go. See, why? How could you not want to work for an owner like that? Like, that's special. I didn't think he was going to say aspirations either.
No.
I froze when I pulled it, and I froze just then.
I looked at Jeremy immediately like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. Whenever he said that, I was like, oh, aspirations.
Big aspirations.
He is exactly.
I thought he was Sir Mix-a-Lot.
There are multiple guys like this that are out there in professional sports right now. Once you've executed a new arena, a new stadium, and you've kind of shown that you have, aside from just running the business operations, you have that specific skill set and you get it done, you're going to have job offers all the time. And I've seen it across basketball and football to where you know exactly why the McNairs made the move they made.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. I can't get over the laugh, though. I'm sorry. You're right. You're 100% right. And he, I think it was a good hire. I think that he's going to be very successful. I think they want a renovation because they have a great rental agreement with the people over there at NRG, Harris, whoever's running Harris County Sports Authority. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to strong arm them into a renovation
at the minimum
with the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. What do you mean at the minimum?
At the minimum, they want the renovations, but they're still going to be their end goal is going to be to eventually get a new stadium.
I don't think so. I think their end goal is for them to renovate NRG so they can continue the great deal they have with NRG. Like every year but one, the Texans have made money by renting through them because of their tax breaks. They're making money to be a tenant there. I don't think that they want to spend the money. I think they're trying to strong arm them into state of the art renovations. But the Texans have a team president that sounds like this.
Big aspirations.
Not the one I thought you were going to play. But they have a team president that sounds like that. And then they have an owner that just, I mean, the...
It's always fun to win.
How could you not trust the Texans, Blankers? Like, the president, the owner, they're aligned.
You got Hannah.
They're not goofy at all. They mean business.
Never.
They have
quit.
The tenacity and courage and bravery to always continue forward, never relent. I love the direction of the Houston Texans with these two guys at the top.
I mean, you got Hannah, which is your savior. And then on top of that, you know, you remember how quickly we've gotten to where we are now, even with these two guys, as opposed to where they were when everybody, including Colin Cowherd and everybody else, was thinking they had the worst ownership in sports.
It's always fun to win.
You have to hold out some hope.
I love Colin.
That Hannah has to drive the ship.
I love Mike Tomlin. This leadership is just the best. There's 32 teams in the NFL. 32. There's no organization that has it as good as the Houston Texans from the top down. Cal McNair, who just always gives the effort, and Mike Tomlin, who just...
Well, it's a culture. Who do you think puts in that culture? You think it's D'Amico, or you think it's the
never,
guy?
Never quit.
Tomlin's going to be in an apron serving burgers at camp.
It might be.
And then in season in the wrestling ring, making videos with the McNairs.
I love this team.
You can have your swarm. I'll take.
Never, never quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Bowl
it's
bound.
Always fun to win.
Super Bowl bound, I think, the Houston Texans, now that they hired their guy as the president. I wish. What are your wishes for the Astros season? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I dropped my ring and I had to go down under the table to find it. It's nasty down there, guys.
It is.
Don't go down there. It's gross. There's like a dozen boba straws. Why is there so many boba straws?
Who drinks that?
And why do they throw their straws under the desk?
I would think you would need them, right? Unless you get extras.
There's 12 boba straws down there.
Well, based on what I've seen Lance put under this desk, I just know that there's probably legitimately at least 5 science projects.
They're not on Lance's side.
No, but look, there's crushed mud and dirt that's been there for several weeks.
It's very gross. I need to go wash my hands.
Bloody napkins have been down there.
Yeah. I need to wash my hands.
Mm-hmm. Because you were down in dirt down there.
Couldn't find it. It was on your side somehow.
And you didn't hit it when you swatted at it?
Nah,
that's crazy.
Apparently, Mike Tomlin was a punter back up at Georgetown.
Oh.
They didn't come up in the interview with him on Texans radio. They didn't mention, hey, they said you were a football player at Georgetown, like he was this hardo. No, he was the backup punter, apparently, according to the texter. I guess I need to look at that. Do my due diligence. He sounds like the Pillsbury Doughboy poked. Kind of does. Like somebody tickled him. He sounds like Easterby, said somebody else. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Shout out to the fish.
I wishes for the Astros season. You know, examples, rotation, batting order, who wins jobs, what they make a move for, who breaks out, all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is your wish, Brian?
First one would be, and this was something that Joel and I talked about after you went to call some Cougar baseball yesterday. Go Cougs. But I'd like to see Hunter Brown be the next young Astros player to get a contract extension, buy out the rest of his arbitration, plus, you know, first couple years of free agencies, basically similar to what they've done with other guys like Yordan and Bregman. I think Hunter Brown obviously had a little bit of a lull in his career, not last year, but the year before. Last season didn't start off great, but from like May 5th on last year, he was fantastic. I think he's deserving of being the next Astro to get a contract extension, assuming he's willing to play ball with you, but I'd make it a goal to get him re-signed.
I think what I'm going to do during this segment is just poo-poo all of these ideas. Because I'm with – that'd be awesome. Would love the idea of Hunter Brown re-signing. I wouldn't stop there. Yiner Diaz, what's up? Cam Smith, you want to be an opening day roster dude? What's up? What's up? How you doing?
Just going to call
him. Head thing and everything.
What's going on?
You want to be going to start texting him you up?
You want to be the starting third baseman? Move Isak over to second? Here's a low ball 10-year deal.
What's up?
Well, like the deal John Singleton got back in the day?
10 for 10.
I'd sign up. I'd sign Cam.
I would sign
no,
Cam
he
for
wouldn't,
10
but,
for 10 for sure.
Yeah. You want to make this team?
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, I don't do that whenever y'all talk trade with your boys during fantasy football weekend.
No, I don't phrase
no.
that.
You've been talking about the number one, like what's it going to take to trade up to number one? What's up? What do you want to do? Come on. Ball's in your court. Y'all need to read The Art of the Deal, sounds like to me. That's the first thing that Trump said. You got to say, sup.
Okay.
I'm kidding. No, I would love the idea. Accurate. I would love the, it's not. I would love the, I just make stuff up. I would love the idea of Hunter Brown, but he signed Scott Boris as his agent.
Yeah, but...
Oh, that sucks. I didn't know that.
That's why I'm poo-pooing it.
Yeah.
Okay,
good luck with that.
When did Bregman get Boris? Because...
After that deal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Now, you could say, well, Lance McCullers has Boris and signed a team-friendly deal.
And Altuve
although
signed
damaged,
two
yeah.
team-friendly
I mean,
deals
the agent's
going to
do what the player makes him do.
Right.
But it's not a great sign that he's with Boris, I don't think.
I get that. I don't think it's impossible because of the examples you mentioned with, you know, obviously McCullers and Altuve's done it twice, but I get that it's definitely a complication.
Yeah. What is your wish, Blankers?
I wish they would trade to get some help in the outfield and get creative.
They added the greatest Astro player ever.
They need more. They need more. I wish I had more confidence in Jake and Chaz then. How about that? Because I don't. I have zero confidence in those two guys, offensively in particular. I think that this team is too good and has too good of a chance to get back to the league championship series and more. And I'm afraid that not doing anything to add a bat to the outfield could hurt them.
Well, they added a bat to the outfield.
Not a good one.
The greatest Astro of all time.
The greatest Astro of all time.
Well,
they kind of rearranged the deck chairs. Yeah. I get it. What if Altuve doesn't have too big of a drop-off, though, and Chaz McCormick has an OPS plus of over 100? And then Jake Myers sucks, but he's a gold glove.
Yeah, I mean, would I feel better? Yes. I just don't have the confidence that Chaz is going to have the bounce back that people are counting on. And, you know, not that I'm saying apples to apples, you got to replace Kyle Tucker, but I just don't like those two options in the outfield. I would love Chaz McCormick as my center fielder if he does, you know, get this anywhere close to a bounce back year. And I can live with it being a little less than if he's in center field because center fielders don't hit with as much offensive prowess, but I would like better in right field.
I just don't know what the option would be at this point. I mean, when would teams be willing
I'm saying,
to trade
I wish
guys
they would have done
matter.
It. Okay. I don't know that there's an option, right? And I really don't want to approach the Alex Verdugo conversation again.
No.
Yeah, he's still not signed. It's weird.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little weird. I think we're just kind of... unfortunately, past the point the teams are going to make trades until it gets to the summer.
Yeah, you have to. What they've reached the point where you need a bounce back from Chaz.
Mm-hmm.
You need Altuve not to regress, handle left field, and maybe Ben Gamel needs to be average offensively type of deal. Although I think you can get by with Altuve being Altuve-ish, Chaz McCormick having north of 100 OPS, and then, I mean, you're not really looking for a ton of offense from center. Like, that to me is a passable outfield offense.
Jake and Dubon can share time
and I think Dubon's your starting second baseman.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
I do. Like, I don't think that Guillermo is beating him out. I don't think Brendan Rodgers is beating him out. I think Dubon's your starting second baseman.
Probably.
Unless you trade for Arenado.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Or unless Cam Smith signs that $10 million 10-year deal. What's up with
What's up?
What's up? Yeah.
Ball's in your court, Cam. Ball's on your aircraft carrier. What you want to do with it?
Fly. And hit bombs.
There you go. There you go. I wish... It's going to make a lot of people mad. Because a lot of people have gotten nerdy. And I'm nerdy. But a lot of people have gotten nerdier than me. I wish that Yordan Alvarez would be the fixture in the cleanup spot in this lineup for the Houston Astros. Oh, no. You're going to lose out on 8 at-bats a month. I don't care. I want Yordan Alvarez to be in the middle of this order. Why? Because I want him to have more premium at-bats. Yes, I will sacrifice a few at-bats a month for more at-bats with runners on base, with more at-bats with runners in scoring position. Yordan Alvarez was put on this earth to do two things: chew bubble gum and drive in runs. And he's all out of bubble gum, and you nerds want to bat him second?
Thank you, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Thank you.
Dude, the dude was born to drive in runs. He was born to do that.
Yeah,
these guys want to bat him second.
One of the notes I had for Wish, and I wasn't as specific as fourth, but just don't hit him second again. Like, if we're talking where the 8 and 9 are Dubon and Jake, like, I want people coming up on base when Yordan's at the plate. And if 8 and 9 are Dubon and Jake, I mean, I trust Altuve to do a pretty good job, but let's maximize the amount of people who could be on base when Yordan comes up, and that's not going to happen if two of the three guys right in front of him are Dubon and Jake.
And look, I get it. I get win, run, created, plus. I get that you're getting two more at-bats every other month. I understand that he's not going to bat 20 more times over the course of 162 games. But is this team scoring more runs with Yordan batting second or batting fourth? And look, I don't even think it matters a whole lot. I think it's very, very marginal. I think that batting order chatter is far overrated. But if we're arguing the margins, which is what we do in sports radio, is Yordan Alvarez the guy that sets the table? Or is Yordan Alvarez that bad mofo that clears the table? He's the latter. It fits his personality. The dude's not a table setter.
Who are you? I mean, the point is the fact that once you start the game, that, yeah, you're going to end up facing 8 and 9 are going to be into the equation. That sucks because 8 and 9 suck. In my opinion, I just don't have a ton of confidence in them.
But that's just traditional with any lineup.
Right.
Though, that 8 and 9 aren't going to be as good as 2 and 3.
We used to talk about all the time the top four, top five in this lineup. Is Paredes in the top four or five?
He's probably one of your top two
five.
Hitters. Yeah,
he
would be one of the guys I have in front of Yordan because he gets on base a lot.
And then Walker?
I mean, if I'm batting Yordan fourth,
those are the two
I get
guys
my
with
way,
Altuve.
Then Altuve, Paredes, Walker, the guy sitting in front of him.
That's what I was
assuming
thinking as well.
Assuming Walker's healthy.
Stop doing that.
What?
Yeah, because I don't want to think about that at this point.
Me saying that ain't going to influence his
I understand belief. That. I just don't want to hear it because I just don't want to think about that they're going to go into the season and he's already going to be hurt.
Give me that Yordan, though. And a lot of people hate that. Well, no one bats fourth anymore. I don't care about everybody else. Well, I'm the biggest analytical nerd on planet Earth. Like, I understand the numbers. But if I learned anything from Dusty Baker,
I know analytics.
It's about managing games off of vibes. And I'm a vibe guy. And I like the Yordan vibe batting in the cleanup spot. Plus, Yordan has better numbers in the cleanup spot than any other spot. So, like, you're sitting here preaching me numbers. Well, the best hitter is bat second. Why are we dismissing Yordan's numbers? Like, he's the guy that this lineup should be built around. Why are we ignoring where he hits his best?
I mean, he also had better numbers when he played left field.
Not last year.
I thought I saw that.
It was almost identical. I'll pull them up for you.
Okay.
That was true going into last year, though. Like, that's not up for debate. But last year, let me load this up here real quick. Playing left field, he was a .322 average, but a .954 OPS. As a DH, lower average, .300, but a .962 OPS. So he didn't hit for as much average, but he hit for more power. More power!
Because I saw on MLB Network, they were making the push that he stays engaged, and some guys, when they're just DHing, that it's like four pinch hit appearances, and it's harder for them, some guys, to focus and stay dialed in.
Wasn't the case for Yordan last year. Prior to last year, that was the case. Although I think we overrate that whole, like, yeah, he's engaged, he's in outfield. Like, does that really matter? Maybe, maybe not.
Some
I don't
guys,
know.
Everybody's attention span is different, but I mean, if it's that close, if the margins are that close, then believe me, I don't want him getting hurt in the outfield.
Like, if you're just a stud hitter, are you going to hit better because you're jogging out to left field and catching one fly ball every now and then?
it's kind of like the argument of getting the diva wide receiver involved in the game early, otherwise they check out. I don't. It shouldn't matter, and it's hard to prove. It's more just anecdotal, but it does feel like that is the case for some guys when you look at their numbers.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It probably is true for some guys. I think that I have a long-standing overlying thought that we sensationalize a lot of things in baseball. Oh my goodness, that fastball almost hit him. What are we ever gonna do? We over-sensationalize lots of things in baseball, and I love baseball. I'm a baseball guy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What do you wish? A lot of text on this. What do you wish for the Astros season? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. They are the best in the business. They take care of you every step of the way. They're doing it, and they've been doing it for almost half a decade. I mean, they've been doing it for almost half a 50 years. They have been phenomenal in the Houston area. And they want to do it for you, too. They want to help you out. They're family-owned and operated. They want to make sure that they take care of Houstonians. And they do it in a variety of ways. Look, they get the best products in the business, but their expertise is where it really comes in, because they're going to walk you through exactly all the products that they have, what would be the best fits for you. They're going to check out what year your house was built, the architecture, the style, and then make suggestions based on that so you get the absolute right product for you and your house. I did it a little over a year ago. I got new windows. The curb appeal immediately went up tenfold. It's phenomenal how much more modern and what a great look the windows provide for the outside of the house. But the most important thing is my energy bills went way down, and that was huge. And all my house and my contents of my house was all protected against hurricane season and all the winds and the different weather that we experience here in Houston. You can get a free estimate just by checking them out, and they're going to come to your house and tell you exactly how they can help, like I did. And it's going to make a difference for you. No commitment, nothing that you have to sign on the dotted line for. It's just you getting the expertise of everybody that's at Allstate Siding and Windows working in your corner. They do front doors too, but the siding and the windows are phenomenal, and that's where they can help you. Go to AllstateSidingAndWindows.com right now. See all the different products that they have to offer and see which ones you might be considering. When you find the fact that you could actually do a package deal with both of them, but also find that they're the best in the business and that they're dedicated to you. They sponsor us and because they want to reach Houstonians, and they love our listeners, and they take care of them too. If you mention us, they're going to take care of you because they love the fact that ESPN listeners come to them. 30% off a window job, $2,500 off a complete siding job. They are absolutely fantastic, and all it takes from you is a phone call, and they are going to have you set and ready to go with everything that they can do to help in your situation. 832-204-1936. Call them and get their help. 832-204-1936. That free estimate's fantastic, and Allstate's the best in the business. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
What are your hopes for the Astros this year? Your wishes? 713-780-3776. Texter, Branham can't be a vibe guy when he ruins the vibe so often. You can't get enough of the Killer Bees parts. It's why you're here 3 to 6 every single day. You love the vibes the Killer Bees produce.
Is it pods or pods?
It depends on where you are in the country.
Okay.
Usually people say pods. You get in the Deep South, though, they say pards.
Yeah, I've heard
usually the part of the country where they say they wash their clothes by washing their clothes. So there's if you're from the Deep South, you add R's when they shouldn't be there.
Is it fair to say the golf community is more podsy or both?
Again, depends on the person and their, you know, where they're from. Okay. Pards is definitely a little bit more seldomly used. Usually you hear pods way more than pards. But some, you know, white guys in their 50s, they like to throw a little R in there. Mm-hmm. I wish injury on the Mariners pitching staff. Okay, all right, you're my kind of guy. You're wishing injury. Now, it's weird, the Mariners, though, man. Like, they have this unbelievable pitching staff, and they do nothing to help that offense.
No question.
It's kind of fun being at Houston.
Yeah, if you're the Astros, you should be thankful, because that pitching staff is nasty.
Mm-hmm. I saw it. Some people would call it the best in baseball, which I might not argue that.
I, you know, in the past you had Atlanta, but they lost a big key. They lost Freed. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge loss. And Strider's been hurt. So you look at it and say, now the Yankees added Freed, and but yet they lost Heal. So, and I guess now they're going to shut down Heal till at least the All-Star break.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue that Seattle doesn't have the best pitching staff in baseball.
One thing that I do think that sometimes people lose in the shuffle when discussing Seattle is their ballpark is very helpful for pitchers. So, yes, their pitching staff is incredibly talented, maybe the best in baseball, but it also helps that they pitch where they pitch. Mm-hmm. And that's something that elevates them, I think. Texture, I wish the Astros can re-sign Phil Maton. Would you be interested in a Phil Maton?
No.
You know what Phil Maton's reaction would be if the Astros signed him?
Ho-hum. Yeah.
It'd be like John Cena turning heel. He'd be over the moon excited. Like that.
And then he'd go punch a locker.
I mean, it depends on what they think. Give a base hit to his bubs.
Yeah.
He punches his locker. It depends on what they think of their guys. Like, I think that these dudes who we don't really know their names and haven't seen them pitch a whole lot, especially at the big league level, I think they like them. I think they like the Logan Van Wise of the world. Forrest Whitley stuff plays. This Okert guy, like big league journeyman, hadn't really been fantastic lately, but against lefties, pretty good. It depends on how they feel and maybe injury-wise, but I think they like him. I think they like him.
Yeah, and look, I think I don't lose as much sleep over the bullpen, in the middle of the bullpen, as I have in the past. I think that they have guys that have high-velocity arms, and then it's just a matter of figuring it out and what role they could possibly play. But you got Forrest Whitley. You've got guys in the middle of that bullpen that I think they can get guys out. And you still got two really, really, maybe the two of the best and a 1-2 punch at the back of your bullpen. I don't think you need Phil Maton, especially at this point in Phil Maton's career.
Yeah, it depends on where they're at when they open camp, but I'm okay with no Maton. I wish for Hader to have zero losses this year. Yeah, you and me both. I think Hader's gonna be good this year. I think he's gonna be really good. I think last year was kind of a weird year. They used him a lot in non-safe situations, really out of necessity. His peripheral numbers were still good. His ERA was high. He still had tons of strikeouts. I think he's gonna have a bounce back year. Obvious reasons aside, I hope the Astros don't have a gaping hole in the lineup offensively. After Maldi and Abreu-Singleton, I just want competence from 1-9. I think you're going to have at least one gaping hole and potentially two.
I think
Myers will be a gaping hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if he's playing every day, I think he'll be a gaping hole. Hits 230 with a 290 on base. But I think he'll play high enough level defense where you're kind of okay with it. And then the other gaping hole, I'm not huge on Mauricio Dubon's offense. If he's playing 140 games, starting 140 games, I think he'll be a gaping hole.
See, that's where I was surprised to hear you say that. I think that there's a better chance that either Rodgers or Guillermo start at second base than Dubon, because I think Dubon, they like the utility, the versatility, and the fact that he could possibly bail you out if Jake isn't hitting well, or Chaz isn't hitting well, and he can, you know, he can give guys a day off in the infield. So I hope that's not the case, and I hope he's not starting at second. And maybe part of that too is I don't trust his offense on a daily basis.
Why would Guillermo start over Dubon?
I mean, I don't know. He's a veteran, but you know, you can fill the role at second base, and then he can still, like I'm saying, he can still be a versatile. He can be your Swiss Army knife playing multiple positions.
See, I think that Guillermo is the Swiss Army knife, assuming that Dubon's your everyday second baseman. If Dubon's not starting 130, 40 games at second base, I think it's Brendan Rodgers that beats him out. I'm not so sure that he makes the team.
Is Dubon a better hitter than Guillermo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was last year.
Okay.
Guillermo hit .205 last year. 64 OPS plus.
Yeah,
he's never been known for his offense. He's always been a glove first guy. But they like his versatility, and he's a smooth fielder. So, like, you don't lose a lot defensively. You might gain some stuff defensively at times, too, with Guillermo, although he had a brutal error the other day.
That's the one that Altuve had to charge in on.
Yeah. Right? My wish for the Astros is that Altuve wins a gold glove at left field would shock everyone. Made a great play again today. Made a great play today. Going into the warning track, making a fine grab, that Jose Altuve. My wish for the Astros is for young players to ball out and at least make it to .500. That's a – come on. That's your best take? Eric the Driver, Altuve has a positive or neutral DRS in left. Jordan plays 145-plus games. Lance pitches back-to-back starts.
I thought we'd get more of the Lance. I wish that Lance would be healthy.
Love it. For Daikin Park to swap the home visitor bullpen, that'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, why?
They swapped the home visitor bullpen. I guess to heckle them.
Oh.
Because it's hard to heckle the visiting bullpen.
Yeah, they are pretty kind of encompassed in their own little zone there in left field.
Yeah, they're kind of a safe space. Why can't Dubon stay in left and Altuve at second? Because your team defense isn't better that way. Altuve's a bad defensive second baseman. Dubon's a good defensive second baseman, so you upgrade the position there, and then you're hoping that you hide the lesser defender in left. Although Altuve's looked okay out there.
Yes. He's looked okay out there. It's surprising to me that the fact that we knew he's got some speed. But he's played some balls off the carom and everything like that already. He made a catch on the, like you said, a track today, but one up against the wall. But look, I'm encouraged at the fact that he looks competent.
Yeah, he does. He really does. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Altuve had 5 errors last year at second. Imagine being in 2025 and grading defensive metrics on errors. Imagine that. That's my car wreck of the day. What's your car wreck of the day, Blankers?
Well, in the plethora of car wrecks that were the Rockets game last night in Indiana, the 13 missed free throws were awful.
It's going to be a tough one to beat. I'll try. Jordan Walker, St. Louis Cardinal. You see what landed him? He's not on the injury list because there is no IL during spring training. But did you see what caused him to be looked at by team doctors?
No.
He stepped on a sprinkler head funny. Team doctors had to take a look to see how healthy he is. I think they actually scheduled for him an MRI. Stepped on a sprinkler head.
How does that happen on them? I mean, these fields are supposed to be major league level, right?
Those heads are hard. Brian?
Your hands get a downgrade for trying to catch your ring. Yeah. One, you should be fidgeting with it, but then it got dropped under the desk and you had to dig it out from that dirty, crusty floor.
Science project.
Yeah.
I'm ADHD.
Tetanus shot.
Tetanus shot coming. I will always play with my ring. Wife hates it. All right, what's winning?
Rockets
free throws. Rockets. That's atrocious. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Keep it here. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, right now on ESPN 97.5. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.